Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Across from me, Joe McGranahan. Thanks for being in Catbird yesterday. We'll talk more about that later. Lynn Hall's our fabulous producer. She gives me a thumbs up. Thank you. Oh, you like Catbird's going to your head, huh?
Right.
All right. Well, thank Peggy Chamberlain.
A lot of things go to my head.
For coming in.
Most of them wind up leaving very quickly, but
that's another topic. Plus, you have leakage of long-term things, too.
I do. So. I'm leaking like a sieve, buddy.
That's another issue. All right. Well, we're going to get to those sorts of dilemmas during the 9 a.m. hour. But first up, we've asked for and received an opportunity to talk to a professor who's visiting Bucknell University, George Yancey, professor from Baylor University, studied at the University of Texas at Austin, got his doctorate in sociology back in 1995, has studied some of the hot-button issues that we talk about here, academic bias, multiracial attitudes in the U.S., and one of his foci lately has been on discrimination against Christians. He now teaches at Baylor University, and he's here to tell us that, believe it or don't, empirically he can show that Christians are being discriminated against. So good morning, Dr. Yancey. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
I really do appreciate it. This is going to be a surprise to so many people that there is anything called Christian phobia, but there is. It probably takes the form of hatred and or fear or maybe some discrimination. So you'll have to start at the beginning on this topic for our audience, if you would, Dr. Yancey.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, there is something, and you would expect that there's going to be some hatred or fear towards any group. I guess what's surprising for people who don't know is that the numbers are surprising and who tends to have it. You know, we know that Islamophobia is a real thing. You know, that is a problem. But if you look at the sheer numbers, according to some of the data that I've access to, there's more people with Christianophobia than Islamophobia in the United States today. And the people with this tend to be upper class, tend to be wealthy, tend to be highly educated, politically progressive, non-religious. So, you know, whereas where people with Islamophobia tend to be more educated. And I'm not trying to dismiss the problems of Islamophobia because they're real. I mean, there's violence going on and things of that nature. But Christianophobia, people with Christianophobia tend to have power to do things that people with Islamophobia don't, because they have status and power and can control culture. So yeah, two different problems, but only one really gets a lot of attention, and I think that creates some of these situations.
Well, Doctor, where did this come from? Because years ago, I mean, everybody went to church. When I grew up in the 50s, you know, it was the Leave It to Beaver type family. Everybody went to church, and, you know, we had our Jewish friends, and we had Catholic friends, and we had Protestant friends, and we all got along. What's gone wrong with us?
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to say where these things come from. I think that there's, you know, ethnocentrism, and that's just a natural thing that happens among humans. And so you find an outgroup in which you hate, and for a variety of reasons that may occur. So it's hard to really say exactly why. I wonder if part of this, because I actually did a paper where I looked at the level of anti-Christian bias or anti-Christian sentiment, not bias. And I think part of what happened is, I think it's always been around, but it's been along with people who didn't have a lot of power, people who were maybe educated but didn't have a lot of economic power. I think what's changed over the past, say, 10 years is that people with economic power are more likely to have Christianophobia than they are, say, racism or Islamophobia. And thus, Christians, I think, feel it more than they used to.
Where are you going to find this bias, this anti-Christian bias, in our elementary schools, in our homes, in our colleges, or in workplaces? Where does it pop up?
And how does it manifest itself?
Yeah, so you know, I think you find it in the places where you find wealthy, educated, progressive, non-religious, which is a lot of our cultural institutions, our colleges, our media, our entertainment. You know, I think that that's what you're going to find it more so than other places. I think it might be coming more in big businesses because they've become more culturally progressive, and I think that tends to set it off as well. You know, as far as our schools, our elementary schools, probably not as much as far as teachers and such, depending on the area of the country you're in. But maybe, you know, like I said, the cultural leaders, so maybe the professors who teach them or the books that are written may have elements of it in there. So those are some possibilities.
And then Joe's manifestation. Where is this? Where, I mean, discrimination or
what form does it take?
Yeah, so, all right, so here's to me, the classical case of it. There was a, I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head, and I always seem to forget it, but there was a doctor who got a job in Georgia. And one of the things that I was told over and over again from people with Christianophobia is, well, just be Christian in your homes and your churches and don't go on public square. Well, he preached a sermon against homosexuality. He's a lay pastor. They found out about that, and they basically got him fired. They had hired him, and then they fired him before he could get a job. He already quit his job. So where you're finding it in, you know, when you try to reach up into academia, there's evidence of it in academia. We try to reach into positions that are controlled by people who are more progressive. The media is a good example. You know, I did some research on the media, and I find the media changes their stories depending on whether or not a Christian's involved or not. You know, so it's in our cultural areas, and it's one of the reasons why I think Christians are frustrated with things such as the media and academia, because they sense that that they're not being treated equally, but they don't have the evidence that they're not being treated equally, and they're just being told that they're just whining about it.
Well, Baylor's. I was going to say, Baylor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Baylor is a good Baptist college, and what do you, when you travel around the country and other communities of higher learning, are you finding that the educated academic people are contributing to this?
I think some of them are. Not all of them, obviously, and there are some who aren't Christians and just go about their business. But you know, there is evidence. I did research showing that if you are a conservative Protestant, you're less likely to be hired in academia. If you're not, and you know, in fact, I thought it was going to be a political bias, which there was, but there was more of a religious bias, and then there was a political bias. So I think academia. You know, I remember a story of a professor looking at someone who was applying to our program, not Baylor, this was somewhere else, and noting they were from a Christian school and saying, "Well, is this person qualified?" You know, and so just things like that can come out. And can create some of these problems.
I guess the way that I'll ask the why of this is, who gave Christians a bad name? What happened? You know, they used to be an accepted thing, and as any religion was essentially accepted. But who gave us a bad name? Why? You know, what prompted discrimination?
Yeah, you know, that's a larger question, and like I said, I think it's ethnocentrism. Have Christians done some things that made people angry at them? Yeah. But, I mean, you can say that about any group. You know, any group has examples of people who... So, you know, I think that this sort of stereotyping and prejudice is not warranted, but it's what people tend to do. And there's all sorts of, you know, academic reasons why we have ethnocentrism, why we try to make ourselves feel better at the expense of our out-groups, how it provides us our social identity. I think one of the dangers of Christianophobia is I think a lot of people, because they're so well-educated, think that they're unbiased, and this does not affect them, which makes it harder to convince them, yes, this is a real problem. It's why I think you don't see attention paid to it, because the image is that Christians are the majority group, and they are in some ways, but in the realms I'm talking about, in academia, in the media, in entertainment, they are very much a minority group.
Well, in Islam, there are two basic divisions, but in the Catholic or in Christianity, there are quite a few. I mean, there are so many Protestant sects. There are different versions of the Catholic Church. Do you think the fact that we're so fragmented as Christians that's caused part of the problem?
It could be some of the problem. There's no doubt that can be part of the problem. But really, when you think about it, in Christianophobia, the focus is really more on conservative Protestants and maybe some conservative Catholics. They're the ones who take the brunt of it in this society, and so I would I don't think that sort of division is as important. Although there is a history, of course, of Protestant Catholic conflict that you have to be aware of. But I don't think that's the major problem.
There was a school shooting yesterday where the police chief in that community identified the shooter as an individual who's transgender, and the individual had a manifesto that I believe called attention to the fact that maybe some dislike against the school or maybe some individuals there. Don't know too much about the exact nature of the complaint yet, but have you monitored that? Did you get a chance to go backwards and see what might be behind that?
Yeah, I have paid attention to that, you know, as much as I can. I've been in travel. But of course, you know, that I mean, that sort of gripped the whole nation, you know, that happened. I would be interested in that manifest when it comes out, you know, at least just learn what's in it. I will note that I paid attention to the news networks, and even though and during the press conference they announced this person was transgender, they would not touch the fact that he was transgendered. And the reason why I point that out, or she, I'm sorry, I don't know which one it is. The reason why I point that out is that I'm quite confident if this had been a Christian shooting up some sort of transgender area, they would point out that this person's a Christian, and they would have talked about that. The reason why I'm confident about that is because of the recent study on the media, which shows that if a story is about a shooting of a church, the focus is on it being a hate crime. The story is about the shooting of a mosque, I'm sorry, shooting church, the focus on guns. It's first shooting about a mosque, the focus on the hate crime. So I'm paying attention to the story, but I'm also paying attention to the media, because I think that you're seeing a manifestation of Christianophobia there right now.
All right, well, we'll keep a close eye on that. Thank you so much for checking in this morning. Almost everything you've studied with tremendous interest has been a tremendously busy topic at our end on this show, academic bias, race issues in the U.S., and sort of the growing pains of this nature. So we really appreciate your studies and checking in this morning. Good morning. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. Bless you both.
Take care.
That is Dr. George Yancey of Baylor University, a sociology professor, and he's speaking tonight at Bucknell as part of their Bucknell Program for American Leadership. We've talked about that program, and they try to get as many wide range of speakers as they can there, so he'll be, if you want to find out about that talk, you can go to bucknell.edu.
He's dead on. When it's about, you know, if it were a Christian shooting it up, it would be about hate, you know, or if it was a mosque or a temple, would be about hate. But if it's a transgender person doing it, it's about the guns. And one of our emailers, EB, who has written to us in the past about how these terrible conservatives shoot up schools and that they should be, you know, locked up, they're insane. Now all of a sudden it's about the guns.
All right. Get a little closer to your mic.
I'm sorry.
I'm pointing at you. All right. We'll hit the break, and we'll be right back. We invite folks to call us, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Use the keyword OTM. We got open phones right now. We'll be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Okay, Sunbury Motor Company, our sponsor. Our email sponsor is Joe McGranahan, because you have to read them.
Yeah, and this, we have a call apparently talk about this terrible shooting in Nashville is going to dominate our program today, but EB says on Monday, a transgender woman walked into a Tennessee school with two assault rifles. That's not true. She walked in with one assault rifle and two pistols.
Oh, I thought CBS says the other way around.
No, they had it on all the other media this morning. They corrected it and said it was one assault rifle, two pistols.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Killing three children and three adults. What are the odds the conservatives start calling for an immediate ban on gender-affirming care, but continue to resist the common-sense solution of banning assault rifles? We've seen time and again that Republicans can live with dead children. They just can't live with basic common-sense gun control. It's the guns, people. It's not TV, video games, mental health, the lack of prayer in school, or transgender people. It's the easy access to guns. But EB, when there were conservatives or people who were linked to Donald Trump shooting up schools, you thought it was the other way around. They should be, they were mentally ill. They should be locked up. They have their weapons confiscated. I think we should keep weapons out of the hands of transgender women, maybe, too. But it is basically a mental health issue. Whether you want to admit it or not, EB, it is people who are mentally deranged. If you see the video of that woman blowing the doors off the school, mm-hmm. shooting through the doors, and walking around coolly and calmly with a one assault rifle, two pistols.
Extreme sociopath.
Yeah.
Extreme.
You know, and then the police, I was curious about, it said the police were there within 14 minutes and then took her out almost immediately in mm-hmm. the 15th minute. But in Nashville, Tennessee, I'm surprised it took 15 minutes to get to the school.
Okay.
So,
all right. 570-743-9565. Start out with our callers, and that puts Stan on the radio first. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning, Mark. Sincere condolences for your loss there.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. What happened yesterday was a hate crime, okay? This woman went after a Christian church. One reason was because it was a soft target, and from my understanding, she had chosen two targets, but the other one was more hardened, so she went after the soft target. It didn't have any defense. Okay, the schools locked the doors as they were been told to do. This is when they know, you know, when something like this occurs, but she blew the doors off. I mean, she blew the windows out of the doors and came in. Now, I don't know. Joe, you said it was two handguns, one rifle, but that ain't what they were saying yesterday. And the video I seen, the clips, the picture, the freeze frame of the picture I seen, looked like she had two rifles in. I couldn't tell if a handgun. That's just what it looked like.
Regardless.
So, yeah, it doesn't matter. Either way, she's a nut job. Now, the question is,
was it because she was taking drugs,
testosterone, to increase her violence level?
I don't know. You know, that's an interesting
point.
That
does affect some people. You know, when they start taking testosterone supplements, even men. But it, you know, men that
it was a man to a woman, though, Stan. It wasn't a woman to a man.
No. She was a woman that went to a man. She was living as a man.
Back in the day,
it was the other way around.
No, she was living as a man. It was a woman. Okay, so was she on hormone treatments like testosterone? Which, in men, the bodybuilders, some bodybuilders take it, and some football players, and they get violent because they do take it. Did that affect her? You know, I don't understand what causes somebody to do something like that. She was definitely deranged, okay, because it takes a deranged person to walk into a school and shoot anybody. She walks into any place and shoot innocent people that have done nothing to her.
Right, okay, this is a psychotic break.
And I do not care what she used, okay? All right? Whether it was a rifle, a shotgun, or a handgun, the results would have been the same. So when people say common sense gun laws, I'd like EB to come on and explain what is common sense. She just wants to ban. Well, banning does no good. There are tens of thousands, if not millions, well, I know it's more than tens, there's millions of these rifles in the hands of law-abiding citizens that do not go out and commit these crimes. So you're going to, once again, punish the people that have done nothing because of the acts of a few.
Was a universal background check a punishment?
That isn't going to do a thing, Mark, and you know it.
Okay.
And the only way you get a universal background check is to have a registry. So you're going to register every freaking gun in this country. So then when the government decides, because the government is made up of people, and there are good people and there are evil people. When the evil people get in charge of the government, which we have one in the White House right now, decide that they're going to come for you and your guns because they don't think you should have them to be able to protect yourself. the registry is what's going to be needed. Plain and simple.
All right. Red flag laws,
maybe? So you can call
me
a conspiracy theorist all you want. I don't care because that is their end goal. Listen to them. They tell us what they want to do. You know, this is forced compliance. This person had a mental problem. She committed a hate crime against Christians because the Christians don't abide or agree with her lifestyle choice. They didn't stop her.
Oops, we got to go.
Stan, you are not correct. I mean, I'm looking at this. A police spokesman told ABC News that Hale, who was the killer, was assigned female at birth and became a man. Not so she wouldn't be taking testosterone.
Stan's
no, he's saying that she was a woman to a man and took testosterone.
Joe, assigned female at birth? What does that tell you? Birth certificate says she was a female.
Right. Right.
Right. Then she takes testosterone.
She was living as a man. What do they normally do when they live as men? They take testosterone.
It's confusing because the media is referring to her as a female. And normally they don't do that. Normally the mainstream media would refer to her by her preferred pronouns or male pronouns.
They're misgendering? Oh my God.
Apparently they are.
Dead naming and
the
everything.
Crime.
Yeah, this is all wrong.
You know, her LinkedIn, I seen somebody right. put her LinkedIn page.
We got to cut you off, Stan, before you.
All right. Have a great day, but remember it's not the gun.
Gotcha, sir. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Joseph, last caller of this segment, potentially, but we'll have more callers during the 9 a.m. hour, and I see texts and emails aplenty. So, Joseph, go right ahead. Joseph, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I'm on the air.
Yep.
Hello.
Turn your radio off. You're on.
You're on the radio.
Yeah, I had the radio off.
Okay.
I just couldn't hear you.
I got you.
Yeah. Hey, Mark. Sorry to hear about your mother.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on that, too, about this transgender. Yes, she was a woman, but she wanted to become a man. And, of course, she'd probably taken hormones. I don't know. But here's the point, too. They didn't reveal the manifesto that she had written, but I think it possibly could be this, because she went to that school as a younger person, and I would imagine if that school was a Christian school that believed the Bible, they would have preached against homosexuality and transgender and all that, which probably offended her even when she was young, and maybe that's why she quit the school. I was listening to Don Lemon on CNN this morning. And he was saying we have to be very sensitive as to how we refer to her or him or what, you know, because he himself is a queer. He's a transgender. Now, he looks like a man. He identifies with men, but he sleeps with another man. So no man sleeps with another man. That's terrible. That's crazy.
Don Lemon isn't transgender. He just happens to be gay. Don Lemon isn't transgender. He just happens to be gay.
Well, no, he's transgender.
Nope, I don't believe so.
No. It's the same with
Pete
Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg identifies as a man, but he's the wife of some man.
Oh, you're confused.
So he's transgender. He sleeps with another man as a wife.
Right, that's not transgender, Joseph. I understand what you're saying. I realize
transgender to me.
Well, no, in reality, it's not transgender.
He
well, I guess it is to
wife.
You.
That's a woman.
I got you. All right, so you're just confused
just
on the terms.
And here, by the way, President Biden last week had one of these transgender idiots dancing in the White House, and then he
there
said this,
go.
Oh, God love you. Well, now, President Biden, look what you got.
What do you got?
Did you cut me off?
No, you're on. We're listening to you.
This is the most hate speech we've had in a long time.
That's about all I have to say. And that's just the tip of this iceberg that's really something else.
Yeah. All right. We got
but
you, brother.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm astounded that the media is referring to her as what she was born. Normally, maybe that's how they're you know, if they called her by her male name, that would be pointing out the fact that she's transgender.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when they were referring to her, you know, they all do it. Everybody refers to them. What? You don't call doctor, forget her name, used to be our health secretary.
Rachel Levine?
Rachel. What was her male name? or her dead name?
I do not remember.
Whatever it was. Mm. But nobody refers...
Bob Smith or something?
Nobody refers to her by that name. They refer to her by her female name.
Well,
the media does this...
At what level of transition was... She, or Audrey is the name they're releasing. I mean, maybe she had hoped to be transgender or just did, you know, some of the very first elements but hadn't changed her name or her pronouns or things like that.
Well, now, there's her picture. Does she look like a man transitioned to a woman or a woman transitioned to a man? I think it's hard to tell based on her picture.
Kind of androgynous, I wouldn't say either, really.
You remember that old TV show, Saturday Night Live? They had a creature, or not a creature, but a character called Pat. And no one could tell what Pat was, whether it was a man or woman. And the whole premise of the satire was to determine what sex Pat actually was.
How long did that last?
It was quite a while. They ran that bit quite a few times.
Right. This is the freshest email we got right there.
Right there. EB says, you have twisted my words. I have always said it is a gun problem. I have never blamed anything other than easy access to guns and how that access makes it simple for radicalized people, yes, often conservatives, to use weapons to take out their anger. You can disagree with me, but please don't misrepresent what I have always said.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much, EB, and all callers and emailers. We got a bunch of emails to read, and we'll get to those as the 9 a.m. hour progresses. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WKOK Sunbury. WKOK News time, it is 9 a.m. CBS News, and then we'll do some local headlines. This is On the Mark on WKOK.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings, welcome all. Joe, you have to see this, folks. Joe is gloating. He went back and he got an EB email where she says one thing, and then, of course, today's email says something else.
Entirely different.
You look like the cat that still has, like, the mouse.
I knew I wasn't mischaracterizing her words.
You look like the cat that still has the mouse tail hanging out their mouth. Yeah, whoops, somebody. Or you look like a cat that has a bird feather.
Swaddled a bird.
As the bird feathers are all around the cats.
Right.
It's like, it wasn't me. So, anyway, all right.
Read the headlines. I want to get to
this. Let's get to this. All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM, as one individual has done. So we'll read that as our show progresses, talking about the religious discrimination against Christians that was talked about with our first guest. And you can email us, as a half a dozen people have done, at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can call us, as two individuals have done there. Well, three if you count our guest. 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. Don't look at me, Joe.
No,
I'm doing fine. All right.
Here to help you during these difficult times.
Thank you. We have a story of a man arrested for assaulting another man with a hammer at a home in West Chillisquaque Township, Northumberland County. 60-year-old Scott Dirk charged with that incident Sunday. More details at WKOK.com. State Attorney General's office seeking more funding for that Safe to Say program that's been helping to protect students in our schools.
Safe to Say Something was established to provide students with a way to anonymously report tips about threats of violence in schools. And given its high use, Attorney General Michelle Henry says her office is seeking a 17% increase in funding for the program.
This year, we are at a 250% increase in tips. Hence the request.
Henry says Safe to Say has also become a popular way for students to report mental health concerns they or friends are grappling with. The Safe to Say Something hotline can be reached at 1-844-SAF, the number 2-SAY. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Talking about the shooting yesterday, President Biden talked about it while speaking at another function.
It's just it's sick. You know, we're still gathering the facts of what happened and why. And we do know that as of now, there are a number of people who did not make it, including children.
Nashville Police Chief John Drake said the individual was transgender, said their preliminary investigation into the shooting indicated it was a targeted attack. The probe suggested that the shooter was at one time a student at the schools, though Drake did not know exactly when they may have attended. Police say they did discover a manifesto, but have not yet released that. Okay, Joe, what did you find out?
Well,
in
EB
research?
Just said she accused me of twisting her words. She said, you can disagree with me, but please don't misrepresent what I have always said, which is she always says it's a gun problem. But EB, you forgot an email you sent us on Tuesday, November 22nd at 8:12 a.m. It goes, for months, right-wing media pundits like Tucker Carlson and Republican politicians like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert have been spewing anti-gay, anti-trans rhetoric, calling members of the LGBTQ plus community groomers and screaming about how drag queens are assaulting traditional values. They do this while ignoring an actual groomer in their midst, child sex trafficker Matt Gaetz. But that's a topic for another email. Now, over the weekend, a young man walked into a Colorado gay bar that was scheduled to hold a drag show the next day and opened fire with an assault rifle, killing five innocent people. His grandfather is a Colorado politician known for his hardcore embrace of Trumpism and election denial. Once again, it's become crystal clear that right-wing media and the Republican Party have become a breeding ground for domestic terrorists. All the open bigotry toward the LGBTQ plus community and all the accusations of a radical gay agenda and all the are having the effect of radicalizing people. From Kyle Rittenhouse to Anderson Aldrich and everyone in between, domestic terrorists are springing solely from the Republican Party. Not a word there about the ease of getting guns. It's all about how conservatives and bad people on the right are killing folks, and now we have somebody on the left, a transgender, killing people, and it's the gun problem.
Okay. Well, and what do you think about President Trump fomenting all the violence in his
it's bad.
Tough rhetoric? Okay.
I think he should have his mouth washed out with soap. Okay. As we used to say. I mean, this stuff, I am retribution. He even admitted that he's taking a lot of flack for that. I saw the Fox News ran a story about him, and he said, I've taken a lot of flack for this, but I mean it in a good way. I am retribution.
Mm-hmm.
But he was trying to explain it, that a lot of people have been hurt, and they have been mistreated by the system, and he is their retribution, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
But the word retribution is not a pleasant
it's
word.
It's like vengeance. Doesn't really imply that I'm going to fight for you in a court of law or anything.
Right. You know, and all these politicians who are saying they're fighting for us, every politician running for office, I'm fighting for you. Well, what does the fight take? How about I'm working for you? I would rather they work for me than fight for me.
Well, yeah, that's true. He always does say that. All right, well, let's go back to the emails. Well, I'll repeat the number if you'd like to call us either about President Trump's violent rhetoric or if you'd like to keep going on the topic of the individual with a significant mental health issue, also happens to be transgender, and shot several people, six people in a school yesterday, a Christian school.
Including the child of the pastor.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, it's funny. The names are in all the news reports. They list all the names. Did you notice that? I thought that might have been a little bit unusual. All right. Upper right-hand corner, Joe, and then we'll hit the phones.
All right. Please stop perpetuating the term assault rifle. Mark can tell you the AR-15 5.56 millimeter is weaker than many deer rifles. Can you tell me that?
That is true. Yeah. Well, yeah, 5.56 is not super duper.
I didn't call it an assault rifle.
Okay, well, I probably did. It's probably in it's in the CBS. It's being commonly used today, but an assault rifle really isn't anything. I mean, it's sort of a term of art of our society right now, mostly for people who don't like the guns. You know, it's a semi-automatic rifle, 5.556, like 222. It's not the most powerful. Pretty accurate if you know what you're doing. But of course, there are many calibers much bigger, 30-06, and 7mm and. And that's just my closet, so no, I'm just kidding. But anyway,
Are you packing again today?
Yeah, I brought my. But yeah, right, nobody goes to the store and the gun store and say, "Oh, I'm going to buy an assault rifle today." It's like, no, we're going to buy a highly collectible, reasonably accurate, semi-automatic rifle that we can use for target shooting and protection and
well,
for collection.
What would a gun dealer say if I walked in and say, "I'd like to buy an assault rifle"?
I think he'd be a little suspicious because that's. Now, that is the media. Well, really, it's the media's term, and I think people use it too. But it's a bit of a misnomer. It's not really. It's not real. It's not like it's like saying.
Well, then how can we ban something that isn't real?
It's like saying
President
I'm going
to
go home today. I'm going to go take my buggy. Well, you can call it a buggy all you want, but it isn't one. Okay.
Right, but the
truck.
President says he wants to ban assault rifles.
Well, I got to. I'll tell you this when I get to my truck. My latest truck they have me driving has Blue Cruise. Wait till you see it. It's the next best thing to automatic driving. But we'll get to that.
All right.
Dan is standing by following our request for calls. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, Mark. I offer you my condolences. You're in my prayers.
Thank you.
Sorry
thank
for
you.
The loss of your mother.
Thank you very much.
Yep. And on the gentleman talking about discrimination against Christians, what's happened, and Jill, you mentioned it. When I was a youth growing up, we were all church people. We pretty much had pretty much the same morality. We believed in more absolutes. And today, going to humanism, the people are changing. They believe more in secular humanism than they believe in the scriptures. And so we as a born-again Christian, we stick out because we believe there are absolutes. And we go to the Bible to get our absolutes. We're secular humanists. They try to figure it out on their own using human reasoning, and that's why we became more discriminated against, especially in, like the gentleman said, in the progressive circles, the media, and higher education. Not all of higher education, but a great part of it is where we receive our discrimination. So that's the problem, and you're right. Thing from the 50s till now, it's actually so different. You think you're almost in a different country from that time till now. I often talk about the 50s, and I know people might get tired of it, but it was an altogether different time, Joe.
Yeah, I can remember on TV, married couples even had to sleep in separate beds, and if they happened to be sitting on the same bed, there was a rule 1 foot on the floor, and you weren't allowed. When Lucille Ball got pregnant, actually did get pregnant on I Love Lucy, they weren't even allowed to use the word. So, I mean,
exactly.
But that's not I don't think that was what was the bulwark of our civilization. I think it was the fact that we had more of a sense of family than we have now. I mean, religion was certainly a part of that component. But to me, families aren't the way they used to be. I mean, how many times do families actually sit down and eat dinner together in the evening? How many times do parents have the time to be actively involved with their kids?
Or they're all on the phone all the time.
Oh, they're all on the phone. Yeah, I mean, I love my grandsons dearly, but I go to my dinner last night with my oldest grandson, and most of the time he's sitting there on the phone. So I texted him, how was your day?
And what did he reply? Fine,
he just looked
now.
At me like smarty pants.
Till now it was fine.
Right. You still with us, Dan?
Yep.
Well,
yep, he's just waiting.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's a different time, and we no longer have that biblical belief, and we as believers, we hold to the scripture as absolute truth because that's what it is. It came through inspiration through men to us that we would have truth, and we base everything on the scripture. If it's taught in the scripture, I believe it. And we get the discrimination reaches into, you know, I bring it up now and then, and Joseph does it, evolution. We believe in a literal creation, and universities, secular ones, all of them believe in evolution. And unfortunately, a few of the more liberal Christian universities sort of believe in theistic evolution, and that creates another
problem. All right, we got you.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
You know,
well, we got to discriminate.
We believe in absolutes, and we have an absolute truth book, and we should go back to absolute truth. America could be changed for the good.
Okay.
All right, we have to discriminate.
All right, you guys
thanks,
have
Dan.
A great one.
Take
great
care, buddy.
Yes,
hey, thanks, buddy. And we have to discriminate, not because of his faith, but because of the clock, which moves us on. Dale, stand by. You are next, but we'll take more comers. 570-743-9565. Got between the two of them. Oh, Dale hung up. Well, somebody else replaced that open line. 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And text us at 70236. Include their keyword OTM.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, welcome back. Let's see, Joe, you got the whole world ahead of you here.
Apparently, I did say assault rifle. One of our emailers says, yes, you did. You said an assault rifle and two handguns. That's true. I did say that. But that's what the media said.
Yeah,
I was quoting the media. I wasn't saying it myself. And then kudos on calling out EB. One of our texters says, one of the reasons the mainstream media is misgendering the shooter is they're trying to distance the trans movement from the shooter. Very dishonest of them.
Well, I think you can find that the individual was female, but may have been identifying as a female in the incident. That's what I think the media picked all that up from the police. You know, they're calling her, the information, the manifesto signed by Audrey. So I think that's why you're not hearing too much about the interest or whatever level of transition that she had done to be a he. Although CBS did report that on her LinkedIn profile, she put her preferred pronouns down as he and him. So, you know, some of that transition was underway.
Well, what was her male name?
Don't know. I don't know what name she had picked up over the years. But whatever it was,
That's my fault.
Everything just seems officially that, you know, in terms of documents and online, seems to be that she's still using Audrey. But at some point, she had started some sort of a transition or just, you know, casually on her own to start to transition to male. But there doesn't seem to be any documentation. Well, in the manifesto, they say signed by Audrey.
That's why I thought she was male to female, because otherwise.
Right, exactly.
The mainstream media never misgenders or uses, as you said, dead naming.
Well, some media is not using the term transgender, and do you know why that is? To talk about her?
I don't know.
Yeah, I
think it's, as one of our emailers here says, our texter said, the reason they're misgendering the shooter is they're trying to distance the trans movement from the shooter.
And if you're going to argue mental health is a factor in shootings, then you know, this gender dysphoria is a mental health diagnosis. It's an actual issue that can lead to, you know, some negative outcomes. So, now, obviously, not shooting isn't typically one of them. But, you know, young people can have a psychotic break. That's all there is to it. Doesn't matter if you're transgender, white, black, old, young, you know, Republican, Democrat.
Right.
Psychotic breaks affect 20-somethings, and that's our fate, unfortunately.
Well, how old was she? I didn't see the age, but she doesn't look very old from the photograph that's posted
yeah,
up
22
on Facebook.
Probably, something like that.
And apparently she had some grudge against the school. But, you know, to shoot 9-year-old children, what in God's name could be the motivation for that?
Right, yeah. What did that accomplish?
I mean, I could understand if you were upset about having gone to the school. Some of the speculation on America's First News this morning was that she had some objection to having gone to that school.
Or may have been mistreated there. Producer says the shooter was 28 years old.
Okay, so not exactly a teenager. And wouldn't be affected by that law that requires 21-year-olds and younger to have not be able to purchase guns.
Okay. Here you go. Another text.
EB obviously has never gone to a gun shop and purchased a firearm. It's not the gun, EB. It's crazy people. The left turns people crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at President Trump. He's so rational all the time. That's funny.
Somebody remembered that Richard Levine was Secretary Levine's male name.
Dead name, okay. And then, on the topic of religious discrimination.
Right. Marxism needs our full devotion, forced or coerced, and so cannot tolerate belief and obedience in something greater than government.
Right.
And certainly faith is something greater than government, right?
Yep. Okay. And then we'll hit delete as you go through these.
All right. And did you read that? Yes, okay. I did. Okay. And Tom said, read Tom's.
We did.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
And now Rob says, hello. Another shooting at a school, and the gun people from both sides will be calling in to argue their case for taking guns away from people or allowing law-abiding citizens to keep them. I'd like to offer a different slant on this tragedy, saying that guns should be taken away from all people, and that will solve the issue. I did hear that in an interview on CBS Radio last week is like going to the ER with chest pain, in your left arm and jaw, shortness of breath, pressure in your chest, and a fever, and the docs decide in the ER that they only treat the fever, hoping that the other symptoms will stop because of the fever being treated. We have a problem in this country with apathy, tolerance for other views, and outright hatred for someone that does not share your views. This problem crosses all race, economic, and social boundaries that our elected leaders have shown as examples for the people to follow. If we could solve the problem of politicians acting like little children in a sandbox, we would be much better off. Maybe we should all write to our politicians and tell them to grow up and act like mature, rational people. Signed, Rob.
I know. I'm sure the politician will never see it.
Dear Mr. Politician, please grow up and act like a mature,
dear
rational
Senator,
person.
Dear Senator Fetterman. Well, he'll never see that. He's still hospitalized. Dear Senator Casey, please act like a mature, rational person.
That's another thing.
Love, Mark.
You know, Senator Fetterman, his staff keeps saying, he'll be back shortly. This is like a tease for one of those long-running TV serials, you know, that...
Coming soon.
He will be back.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we're paying him.
All right. I'm going to tell you about our sponsor, and then we'll open up the phone lines. We would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 570-743-9565. We have posted about 120 versions of Thoughts and Prayers on our website, where we posted updates on the shooting, or on our Facebook page. And some folks say we got to ban guns. Other folks say we got to really address some of the mental health issues in the country. So we're having that little go-round argument we have after every school shooting. This one has the transgender wild card thrown in, so that's always a factor. But mental health is a factor in all of the shootings. That much is 100% verifiably true for everyone. So what's your view on this topic? 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Text us at 70236. I want to tell you about one of the vehicles down at the Sunbury Motor Company. That's lots of people are talking about them. Well, two of them, really, and they're both Hyundais, and they're both very highly rated by a popular consumer magazine, which they prefer stays nameless. But it's the Hyundai Santa Cruz, which price tag on that now just creeped up above 40, but the lower end is still in the 20s. And the Hyundai Santa Fe, which is almost the same vehicle, but it's a three-row, like a Palisade kind of situation where you have 200 horsepower motor. You're going to be getting 30 miles to the gallon on the highway. It does have a hybrid version available, and both of those vehicles, sort of on the same sort of frame, are fantastic vehicles. The Santa Cruz has that open bed, so you can put your garbage bags or dead deer or maybe your kid on just the right road. Just let them ride back there if you're going slow and have some fun. It's like a pickup truck. Or the Hyundai Santa Fe, which is the three-row SUV. But basically, a lot alike on the vehicle descriptions, Hyundai Santa Fe and the Santa Santa Cruz. Bottom line, Sunbury Motor Company has them. Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf is the Kia dealership, but the Ford and Hyundai dealerships over on North 4th Street in Sunbury. You can find these vehicles and many others. Inventories way up. SunburyMotors.com.
Welcome back to On the Mark. One phone number we have is 570-743-9565.
You got it, brother.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
And we have Lance from Herndon. You are on the mark, sir.
Hey, hi there, guys. Well, first, I'd like to offer my condolences there to Mark.
Thank you.
And, yes, how old was your mom?
91. So she's just a super fantastic lady in every way. I'll brag about her later.
Oh, as they say, a life long and well-lived.
Yep.
Okay. Well, anyway, I saw a picture there on the cell phone of that shooter. And what he's using is an AK-47 with an arm brace. That is not an AR for sure. And what's hilarious almost is they took it down now, but it gives the female name, Elizabeth something or another, right? And then it said, shot his way into the school.
So there they used the female name, which she was born with, but then made reference to her being a transgender by saying a man. He shot his way in.
Yeah.
What media did you hear that on? Because all I've heard is they're referred to as a woman.
That was the British one.
BBC?
No. Yeah, right.
It's the single most popular media in the world.
It's not the BBC, but it comes in every now and again. It's like an M thing.
I'm not familiar with that.
I'm sure they took it down. This was real early this morning. That was something. But anyway, we were talking about the power of a 5.56. Well, that 308 that you use for deer, right, Mike?
I do. Yes, I do. Well, I'm supposed to, but the deer seems to find a way around it.
If he ever saw a deer where they had it in his hand, he would use it.
moving on.
Well, a 5.56, the military one, shoots a 62-grain bullet. You're using, what, 150?
Oh, yeah, 120 or so.
Only 120s? Well, you know, you're still twice as powerful.
Yep.
Well, it is. You're 1,200 foot-pounds for the 5.56 and about 2,500 for your 308.
Okay.
So no real responsible hunter would ever use one of those mouse guns for anything except groundhogs. And that's really true.
What's the lowest caliber you can use for deer in Pennsylvania?
You can. It's legal. It has to be a center fire rifle. That's all it says.
Oh, okay. Isn't that funny? Okay. Yes. Well, 222 is probably the smallest that I know of, anyway. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Moving on.
Okay, moving on here. The assault rifle concept, it was never designed to kill. It was designed to wound. The idea was to wound the soldiers so they had to take them off the battlefield and take care of them, which really expends resources, you know, of your enemy. It was originally done by the Nazis, you know, back World War II, with the Sturmgewehr, which was called SDG-44, and it was a medium-powered cartridge. It was not a full-power rifle load, just like this 223-556 is. And, of course, the idea was that actually wounding a soldier was harder on your enemy than killing him, because a lot of times somebody that fought valiantly will make the people on the other side fight even harder. And that was a full auto, not a semi-auto, but a full auto. So what always bothered me was, if a weapon that was designed to wound with multiple hits a 165-pound man, what about a gun that was designed to kill with one shot a 1,000-pound animal? I mean, it's not going to be long until they're going to want to ban those, too.
Okay.
Well, I think it's the semi-automatic nature and the, you know, multiple round clips that folks find most offensive in those.
What I find offensive is the use they're put to, killing children in schools.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest is hype. We can argue all day long about which gun is best, which gun is worse, which gun does this, which gun does that. But the bottom line is that sick people are hurting children in schools, and it's got to stop. Now, I don't think banning guns is the way to do it. Frankly, I know I will anger Stan, but I think extensive background checks are necessary when someone attempts to purchase a gun capable of doing the kind of things that these guns have been put to use for.
Well, look, you know, I'm going to say, here he goes again. But you realize that every month, the number of people under the age of 21 who die from alcohol is equal.
I don't care. That's a choice they make. That is a choice they make on their own. They don't have to drink alcohol. Those little kids sitting in the schoolroom didn't have any choice. Somebody with a gun came in and shot them. And they weren't drunk. They weren't consuming alcohol. They were sitting in their classroom, and somebody came in with a gun and killed them. That's unacceptable, okay. Lance. That is completely unacceptable.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. I'm saying it is. But then how come that that the alcohol is? I mean, the kids make a
The alcohol
choice,
is not acceptable.
You know, under 21?
Those kids weren't drinking alcohol, Lance. It's a false equivalency. They weren't drinking alcohol. The person who shot them wasn't drinking alcohol. So the fact that other people die from alcohol, that's a separate issue. What's mainly at play here is the fact that someone used firearms to kill children. And we need to find a way to stop that. And if it's banning some guns, I'm in favor of it. But, you know, on the other hand, I think there should be a workaround so that people who aren't mentally ill can get those guns if they use them for some legitimate purpose.
Well, didn't we try banning alcohol once? It wasn't exactly
All right.
a plus for banning.
All right, we got you, Lance. Thank you so much, sir, for calling in.
Thanks, Lance.
Yep.
Take
care. Very much appreciate it. All right, Joseph wants 1 minute. That's easy enough. Go ahead, sir.
I was thinking about this. How was there any children wounded that they had to take to the hospital?
Apparently,
I didn't hear if there was.
Apparently not. Apparently the injuries were limited.
Okay, now I have a question here. Now, the one child that she shot was the chief pastor's daughter.
Right.
So if she's... Now, there's something going on here. If she was in the classroom with 100 to 20 kids or whatever and found the pastor's daughter... and shot her deliberately, which it looks like she
might
did
have.
That. Why didn't she shoot? Now, this may sound terrible, but, you know, you're
Why
dealing
not
with
shoot
a crazy
the pastor?
Person. Why didn't she shoot a half a dozen or more? But she specifically shot this pastor's daughter. And so I think that, of course, it was all premeditated, but if she wanted to really cause havoc, she had semi-automatic pistols and rifles, she could have shot a bunch of people. And there would be a lot of people wounded, and you see that in every other shooting of all the wounded ones. But there was no wounded ones here.
Yeah, this seemed to be very target. She seemed to have a specific target. So.
And there was a fair amount of time, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think she did, and I think that pastor probably offended her, and that's why she picked out his daughter.
So now she got him.
If you think about the evidence, you know, I mean, if she's
there
to kill,
we got to hit the road.
She could have killed a lot more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we know what you're saying.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, that is true. That 15 minutes could have resulted in a lot more damage.
Well, she did fire. She broke a second-story window and fired at the police. There was some media coverage of the broken window on the second floor that she used to shoot at cops who were responding.
Okay. Oh, she did shoot at police. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Here we go. This is... that does not help. The mouse went nuts. There we go.
Okay. All right. Well, starting from the top, the pic going around the Internet, supposedly a Fetterman and together with his wife, but the guy isn't Fetterman. Very poor body double. Very strange.
We see a lot of fake pictures. There was a picture, fake pictures of President Trump getting arrested recently.
And there was a picture of Trump with a baseball bat aiming at the head of the DA in New York.
Right, but he tweeted that.
Alvin, what's his name? He did, but I mean, it was a composed picture. It wasn't a real picture. He didn't actually approach the district attorney of Manhattan with a baseball bat.
I believe, who put that on their cover? The Post? The New York Post?
I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, I think he deleted the tweet from his not his Twitter account, but that social account that
social,
he's got going. He's got,
social.
He has like 2 million followers, so he still has quite an impact on the country of 300 million people.
2 million?
Yeah.
I think
that's
he should have had more than that.
Right.
There's no such thing as a dead name, only a mental issue. The shooter was 28, and Aiden was the shooter's male name. Seems she was severely confused using her real name in LinkedIn, but male pronouns also. And there are assault rifles in use by the military. They are select fire, which means they are full and semi-auto. The AR-15 isn't.
All right. What, somebody said it was AK, so which is, you know, Kalashnikov. All right. So,
can you buy those?
An AK-47? Yeah, a semi-automatic version you can buy. If you want a fully auto version, you have to go through a lot of scrutiny, and I think you have to post a bond. You used to have to get your police chief to sign off and stuff so you could have it. But it's just a collectible, and it'll cost you 20 or 30 grand.
But, you know, it's really insanity. We do the same thing over and
over
again.
Yes, this is it. This is the exact definition
of insanity.
Oh, yes.
We ban the guns. We are just appalled, and we're terrified that these kids are being shot in school, yet nobody does anything about it. I mean, let's face it. Some schools, after the fact, I'm sure in Uvalde right now, you couldn't get in those schools for love or money without being shot by somebody, an armed guard. But other schools, whether they're religious, I mean, can you imagine the growth industry that armed police presence in a school would require?
Well, yeah.
But what is the answer?
You have a resource officer in some schools, but they got to be at the right place at the right time. But not all schools have them. And how fortified do you want your school to be? You know, we know that some of the students that are doing the shootings are shooting through the existing doors and so on.
As this shooter did.
But, yeah, do you want the whole building locked up like a military camp that you just can't get to? I mean, is that where we're headed with this? So, yeah, I think we can attack this on all fronts. I think it is a mental health issue, as many of our listeners point out, and I think it is a gun access issue, as our listeners point out. So I think we can get this, and maybe there are ways that schools could be safer. Maybe we should come up with the funding for school resource. You know, we wouldn't hesitate to bring extra police to a football game where you have a gathering of people. You have to have special officers there. Well, you have 200-some people in the school, or 300 or 400, whatever it is, so should you have to have an extra officer there? You know, maybe that's our fate.
Well,
to protect them.
It makes you wonder, for example, if there were surveillance cameras all around the school and somebody assigned to sit and look at them, would they have seen somebody approaching with a firearm? Could they have notified police? You know, there should be a panic button in every school that when somebody presses it, the cops are summoned immediately, you know, from everywhere in the immediate vicinity.
Well, right after the shooting in Uvalde, there was a very public scrutiny of the responses and what police did and what the school did and what had happened in the days before. But we're not getting it doesn't seem as though we've had quite as much, but maybe because it's still less than 24 hours ago.
Well, here, the two policemen who responded, they put their pictures on Fox this morning, who responded, dealt with it immediately. They went in and they found and located the shooter and took her out. Which is exactly what they should do. You know, it's unfortunate it took 15 minutes for it to happen, but no one's saying they didn't do what they were supposed to do and do it immediately.
Right, in this particular case. Well, yeah, if I were an officer and properly trained and, you know, just had the bravado to do that job at all, you'd want to attack the person. You don't want to hold back and wait or seek jurisdiction or do, said they ran towards the guns and found her. Ran towards the noise.
Which is their job, you know, and they probably don't get paid enough to do it.
Well, you have to do it right. I mean, they did go through a lot of training after Columbine to make sure that police are doing the right thing, but obviously there's a sort of a sweet spot to get for that.
So where do we go from here?
Well, I think this is like you described the abortion issue. I think this is our impasse, and this is where we'll be. You know, I think we did impose some changes in gun laws that relate to transparency of teenagers, so, you know, maybe that'll help a tiny, tiny bit. Red flag laws are in effect in dozens, at least two dozen states, so we'll have to go back and see, are they helping? You know, do we think that was? Maybe interview people who've been red flagged and then say, what were you planning to do, and see if they did have violence on their minds.
Well, should we go back to when I grew up, there were neighborhood schools. There weren't these giant complexes that there are now. You know, should we decentralize education? Should we remove the number of targets available?
Well, the expense is higher.
Yeah, it's higher. No argument about it. And, of course, that would mean more security would be required for more buildings and more
protection.
Well,
maybe we should build one massive, ultra-secure facility.
Supermax.
Right. We'll buy the Lewisburg Penitentiary. We'll move the super dangerous inmates out to other places, and then we'll turn it into a school.
Put the kids in there. You're right.
And then we'll have armed guards at the...
Ignore the electric chair over here in the corner, kids. Just don't sit in it.
Right. Yes. Well, you can sit in it. Just don't let anybody near this.
And this afternoon lunch will be served in the hole.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Kids that are punished. Oh, boy. Some part of our audience isn't laughing at any of this.
It's not funny. I mean, it's tragic. It really is a tragedy. Whether Joseph is right and they specifically targeted the pastor's child, I don't know. The news story said that the pastor's child was among those killed. It didn't specifically say that the child was targeted, so I suppose that's Joseph's supposition, and it may be accurate.
All right, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. We're going to wrap up the show. We'll take a break. Thank you, everybody, for the condolences. Got all kinds of emails and calls and so on about my mom.
Well, your mom was a great lady.
Right, just a really super doer and just a great mom and a great mentor and a good liberal Democrat. She would text me regularly to say that Joe was wrong again.
So. And she tolerated me, too.
Right, right. Served in the U.S. Army, post-Korea.
College professor.
In Japan, yep. Taught at Bloomsburg. Went back to school when she was 40, like 41 or 42. Went back to Bloomsburg University, then West Virginia University, and just a super, super woman, great mentor. And, of course, you know, with my daughters, when my sisters were teenagers, they had the normal pushback and angst against their mother, which I think seems to be typical, and there was some of that. But the tremendous impact that my mother had on her granddaughters is palpable, and we really are seeing that from them now, just when they knew what she did and accomplished and said so. I got to see her Friday, and she died Friday night, so I appreciated that brief time we had together Friday.
Well, you're certainly in all our thoughts and prayers, you and your family, and you know, it's a difficult time, but she did live a life well lived life, if you want to call it that.
She was yelling at CNN on Friday afternoon, so that she had that much going. All right, we'll take more comers and callers. Feel free to buzz us now, 570-743-9565. 570-743-9565. Is there anything we can do to make us safer? Common sense changes in gun laws, mental health laws, red flag laws, anything like that?
We do not sell bullets anymore.
We don't sell any ammo. Yeah, every bullet that's been made, that's all there is, so don't waste it. All right, 570-743-9565. Email on the mark at WKOK.com. Text us at 70236.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Well, Lance, you get an actual minute because we got another caller waiting, so okay. go right ahead.
Okay. Why? Sobering fact here is that the number of children under the age of 14 that are killed by drunk drivers in 18 months equals all of the kids K through college that have been killed in school shootings since Columbine.
All right, we got
it's
you.
Sobering, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay,
it sure is. Thank you so much. Thank you.
But irrelevant to the point.
Depends on what point you're talking about. Bill, you're on the mark, and you'll probably be the last caller. I see it's ringing, but you'll probably be the last caller. Go ahead.
Hey, well, first, sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Second is, you have to see the whole picture, and the Democrats are going to pound these gun laws again. The big picture is bad what happened, but the big picture is, since Biden's been in office, 15 million have crossed the border that they estimated. The calculations are, they're fudging the numbers, making them lower. But these Central America countries are releasing their mental patients, prisons, and they're flooding our country. I mean, this country's, it's going to get worse. And with them trying to get rid of guns and not defend your house or your family, it's all about control, and the American people got to stand up. It's an isolated incident, sad, very sad. But I'm just telling you, you got to see the big picture.
Yeah, 50 million, that's quite an estimate. But, well, any number of millions is too many. But, you know, President Biden stands a good chance at re-election. There are some good Republicans out there that run against him. But, honest to Pete, people will elect him because of 100
Biden
other issues.
Should be in jail. And the reason why he's not in jail is because they have a special investigation for Hunter Biden. They're going on like the 4 or 5 year mark. That investigation will never end while Biden is in office.
Stall and delay, I said while you were talking. Stall and delay.
Delay, 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 delay. They did it with Hillary. They did it with the rest of them. They're just going to drag it out, drag it out, drag it out.
Okay, until after Biden's gone. Then, Hunter's arrested. Corruption or whatever. All right, Bill. Well, yeah, one of them should be open and shut. Didn't Guy Gunwin falsify the document? What's so...
If
I did that, I'd get in hot water. So, anyway.
It's a continuing investigation that they're prolonging. He should be in jail for gun violations.
Yep.
And he admitted it in his book. He's wrong.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Bill. Thanks for calling in.
Right. One of our texters says, mark my words, the narrative will soon be pushed that the shooter is the victim of a society that won't fully accept and affirm her transgenderism. Well, I think you got that right. That's probably where we'll be headed.
Well, you know, I think you can say that, but honestly, I think we have significant mental health issues that aren't being addressed. And I don't know if our mental health system is adequate or not, but we're not addressing a lot of mental health issues, and we have significant access to gun issue. We have schools that aren't hardened, not that they should have to be, but...
Well, apparently we don't. We need more mental health facilities. Even Geisinger's trying to build a big mental health facility up in Danville. So
one of our emailers says, our thoughts are with you, Mark. Please take time off of work to adjust or pray or mourn.
Probably mourn.
I find solace in the routine. Glad to be back, and thank you, everybody.
Glad to have you.
Thank you, Joe. We'll see you tomorrow. We got a guest tomorrow. It's David Brown of Business Wars. This is WKOK Sunbury.